the Lord from you guys today, and maybe I could tie that up, share my testimony. If we can turn our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 4, we're going to start reading from verse 18. In the word, if we could all stand up, just for the reverence of the reading of the word of God, in Jesus' name. The word of the Lord said, "The Lord is long-suffering, patient, slow to anger, in a great mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee." This is Moses talking to the Lord. "I beseech thee that the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." Bishop, can you pray for the reading of the word, please? May be seated. A chapter before this, God commanded Moses and Aaron to send forth 12 people from the tribe of Israel to go forth and to search out or to spy upon this land that they're supposed to conquer, that was flowing with milk and honey. Amen. So as they send these people off into the place, we know the story pretty well of what happened. When they came back and reported to Moses what was going on, these 10 spies gave an evil report unto Moses and to the congregation. Amen. Saying that these people, we can't go against these people. These people are huge. They're giants. Amen. We're like grasshoppers against these people. We can't go battle upon. We can't take this land. But there were two people there, Caleb and Joshua, saying that we can take this land. We can conquer this land because God gave us this. It was a promise from God. Amen. Everything that God promises, it'll come to pass. Nothing that God has never, ever promised, never happened. It will always happen. If God has promised something in your life, God will fulfill it in His own time, not our own time. God will fulfill it in His own time, in His own will. As long as we are continuing to be faithful in trusting Him, and always, God will bring it to pass. So these two guys was just fighting the crowd. Amen. Tell them we can take the land. We can conquer this land. God has promised us this land. And the Bible tells us that the congregation was getting ready to stone them. And the Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord came upon the tabernacle and started talking to Moses. And the Lord was angry, was upset of this congregation because of their murmuring, their complaining. Ever since the first time they stepped out of Egypt into the wilderness, all those 40 years circling around that wilderness, they've been complaining and murmuring. That's all they do. And the Lord was getting ready to eradicate this people and start over again with Moses. But this is where we come to the text that Moses prayed to the Lord. He begged the Lord not to destroy this people. Amen. If you're praying for something today, if you have something in your life, if you have a family member or a son or daughter, whatever it is, keep praying for them. It doesn't matter if it seems like it's going to be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. Just keep praying for whatever it is that your heart's desire. God will someday soon fulfill whatever it is that you've been praying for. Amen. So as Moses keep pardoning these people, talking to God, do not destroy these people. These are your promised people. You promised them, amen, that you will give this land to them. Amen. And even he reasoned with God, telling him that if you destroy these people, the other nation will know that you brought these people out of Egypt just to destroy them. Amen. These nations will know that you didn't have the power or the authority to take these people to where you have promised them. And so the Lord listened. He listened to Moses. God is listening to your prayer. Your prayer is not in vain. Your prayer will soon come true. Your prayer is most important. God knows that. Every tears that falls out of your eyes, that run down to your cheek, God catches every prayer, every tears that run down to your eye, your cheek. God remembers that. I mean, sometimes I understand in my own, I have a big family. And I've been praying for them ever since I came to the Lord. They've been a burden to me. And I've been praying for them for years and years and years. And it seems like it ain't letting up. It ain't breaking. But the Lord, one time the Lord asked me, there were going to be a revival that's going to break out in this family. Well, it's been a few years. I don't see anything, but I'm still believing. I'm still believing in what the Lord has said. I'm still believing that there will be a breakthrough coming. Amen. Because I am not going to let out. I'm going to keep voicing out what I want unto the Lord. The Lord will listen to me. He will answer it when it's time for Him to answer it. I am not going to quit. So I'm asking you, do not quit on whatever it is you're praying for. If you have sons and daughters out there that are not in the Lord yet, keep praying for them. Don't stop. Just keep asking the Lord. The Lord will answer it someday soon. Amen. And this is what happened, that God basically just spared these people. But there was a consequences that happened. That the Lord told Moses, those people that are 20 and up, they're basically going to die in the wilderness. Amen. But those children that they were saying about, they're going to be conquered and be slaves to the other nation, they're the one that's going to be taking the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And I'm just reminded of, I have a burden for Seattle. Ever since I came to the Lord, ever since I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I still remember vividly that my pastor told me, we need a church in Seattle. That's stuck in my mind. That's stuck in my heart. And I prayed for Seattle. I cried for Seattle. I so many years I prayed for that city. As I drive by in that city, I prayed for the people there. I prayed for them. Amen. I thank God for giving us these 2 years. We went out there, started work in Seattle. Amen. God gave us this privilege to do so. You know, we were approved for a daughter work, and we went there, and they got a chance to talk to us, and what are you guys going to do there? And it was like, we're going to start a work. I said, okay. And I understand. I know the history of Seattle, how many people went there, how many pastors have went there, and never really basically established anything there. But I believe that there is going to be a great breakthrough that's going to come out of Seattle. Amen. I even told one of the pastors that was asking me questions. So how many, I told them, we're going to start church there. Every corner, everywhere. We're going to start 10 churches. We're going to have churches that are like Starbucks, so they don't have to drive anywhere. They can just walk through like a neighborhood Starbucks. And one of the pastors told me, well, that's a bold statement. Well, there's nothing bold in the Lord. We can, you know, whatever we ask, whatever we desire in the Lord, God will answer it. As long as it is according to His will. Amen. Praise God. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. And so that's why in verse 19 it says, "A pardon I beseech thee, that iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of mercy." We know that God is merciful. As the scripture said earlier, that he is long-suffering. He is angry. He is slow to anger, impatient. Amen. God is slow to anger and is patient with us. I mean, for my testimony alone, if I could share with you today, I have been so what against whatever it is God was trying to do. Go back to Seattle. I don't know why God put this burden upon me. I later on found out when I was in church already that my grandfather was actually a United Pentecostal Church pastor in the Philippines. I did not know. I just recently found out a few years ago that he was one of the first pioneering pastors in the Philippines. And he was converted. One of his friends that's from Hawaii, there was a missionary that went to Hawaii, and his friend got converted. He went to the Philippines and converted my grandfather. And I believe, and there was a first missionary before Brother Mallory came to the Philippines. There was a first missionary, what was his name? Pastor Back Miller? I believe he was the first missionary that ever came to the Philippines. And my grandfather was with him. He was going all over wherever they were going to be an interpreter. He was an interpreter for the missionary. And when Back Miller retired, I think Pastor Mallory came in, and I had a chance to talk to Pastor Mallory in Canada, and he's like, "Yeah, I remember, you know, Elder Tagadi. He used to go to their house, stay there and eat there, whatever." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So basically, when my grandfather came to the United States, he came from Virginia and came to Seattle, and I was told from my mother that they were trying to start a work in Seattle. Amen. So he was trying to start a work in Seattle, and I guess they were having a hard time starting a work in Seattle. And that's when, he started going to SeaTac with Brother Seagraves. So basically, we, as a young kid, 9 years old, coming to the United States, we started going there every Sunday. My grandfather had 7 kids, and they all had grandchildren, and they all had kids. Amen. The house that they bought in Seattle was 5-bedroom, one room for family. So every Sunday they wake us up. Every one of us wakes up, and my grandfather will fill up that van. He used to have this Ecoline, whatever, green van. He would fill us up in there, drive to SeaTac. Amen. We go there and start church there. And I believe that's where I was baptized. I don't remember what age, but I would say around 11 or 12. And when my grandfather started to get old, you know, he went back to the Philippines. You know, he passed away in the Philippines. When he passed away, amen, the whole family just scattered, just backslid. He was the head that was holding the family together. Every get-together, everyone was there. Every holiday, everyone was there. When he passed away, the whole family just scattered and backslid from the church. And sometimes I think back, it's like, what is it? Why me? Why did the Lord pick me out of this whole family? Growing up, and at early teenage years, around 16, I believe, of 15, my parents was in the process of divorce. So In the age of 16, I got myself involved in a gang. It was a Vietnamese gang. I was like the basically the only Filipino in this gang that doesn't speak Vietnamese, but it was weird. It was like I was basically growing up, I was surrounded with gang. My cousins were in the gang and, you know, all this stuff. So I was surrounded in the gang and you know, but they were involved in the Filipino gang. And I was like, out of the bunch, got involved in a different, I run with the different people, basically. Basically, that's where I learned how to steal, rob, and all this stuff as growing up. We were the only group in Seattle that, you know, 15, 16 years old, we were already driving cars. We're a bunch of us in one car. We have our own apartments. We have our own place to stay in. We just bunch up in all in the apartments. So the only way we can earn our income is we rob. We go and steal cars. We take whatever stereos or whatever it is that's valuable in a car, we take it and sell it. Amen. That's how we have money. That's how we buy whatever we need. Amen. And then from that, we rob people. We, you know, at an early age, we stop going to school. We skip school. We go out in the junior high or elementary school and drive around and look for Asian kids. I'm sorry, Daniel and Kevin. We drive around and look for Asian kids. Asian Chinese kids, they always have those gold chains. So we drive around and see them and just go there and just snatch that out of their neck and just walk out. Walk, get in the car and go to a gold shop and sell that gold for money. So as we got older, you know, we got into deeper things. We start selling drugs. Before that, we start robbing houses. We rob a lot. You know, I'm not proud of it, but, you know, we rob a lot of houses. I mean, all over Seattle, we rob a lot of houses. And as we get older, we got into deeper things. We got into drugs. We start selling drugs. We start selling marijuana and start selling all sorts of drugs I can get my hands on. And the last thing that I ever sold was methamphetamine. Now, I told myself this, that I'm just going to sell, make money, and quit. Once I got a hold of that drugs, it just spread like a wildfire. People was calling me out of nowhere. I don't even know the people that was calling me. And money was coming in so fast that I was like, I can't quit now. The money's coming in. You know, I was trapped, actually. It was a trap. You know, I was like selling, and I was getting rid of it within a week or two, buying more, to the point that I start buying more and more. And I start using it. I start using it more than I was selling. And I wasn't making any more income from it. To the point that friends start to stay away from me because of this thing that I'm holding. And to the point that I start to get distressed and depressed. And I believe this is kind of start to kind of like the turning point of my life. That was one day I was just, I don't know where I was driving, but I was driving home somewhere. I might be driving home. And I just cried out to the Lord. I just totally just cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm tired of this. I don't know why I'm like this. At one point, I started blaming my parents because I'm like this. But I was like, Lord, I'm done. I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. And then at that moment, I don't know how far apart from it, I start to have these dreams. I start to have these dreams that I was back in CLC in SeaTac. I start to see I was in the church, just watching. I see my families there. I see people that I used to, I recognize. And I start having dreams that I was parked there with my car, just parked outside. And I, not far from that, I start to hear. It's like what happened to Jonah. Jonah heard a word. And what he did, he ran. It's like what happened to me. I heard a word from the Lord. I heard it three times. And this word was, go to church. That's all I heard. Go to church. I don't know how far apart they were, but twice I heard those words, same word. It was just still, it was a voice. It's like a literal voice that was somebody was beside me. It was a loud voice. I don't know what if it's true what they said, that the more you get closer to God, the more the voice gets still. And I believe that. And the more further you are from the Lord, the louder his voice is. So I was hearing, literally I was hearing this voice twice. And I did not pay attention to it. But the third time, it was so different. I don't know how long I was staying at a friend's, I don't know what he called that, a shed in the back of his house. I used to spend my days there. I don't know how many nights I spend there just getting high. And one night, I was just there, you know, we were going to go somewhere. And so I went in a car, in my car. It was dark in that part of Seattle. It was so dark. There was barely light there. I was just sitting in my car waiting for him. And then this voice came again, but it's different. It was more an authoritative, commanding voice that I was so spooked. I thought there was somebody right behind me. A literal person right behind me. I had to look back. You know, because he was like, go to church. I look back, I'm like, what is that? So I, instead of waiting for my friend, I just took off. I was scared. I was like, who was that? And I was high at that moment. I was just so spooked, and I forget it. I'm going home. I went home, and basically, I don't know how many weeks later or a couple days later, I bought a plane ticket. I said, I need to relax. I need to go some. So I bought a plane ticket for a month. I went to the Philippines. At that time, I was in a relationship. I had a kid with her, and I took her and my son, and I believe he was about 7 months old. We went to the Philippines. Things wasn't working in the Philippines. We were arguing this and that, and I wanted to come back. And a week later, we went to some airline dealers to change my flight to a week and go home. They won't allow it. I don't know what happened. Later on, I found out. I don't know who it was. 2004. I think they changed the law. There's something that changed a lot. I think that's when Homeland Security came in. They were signed in. So they didn't change. They didn't want to change my ticket. So basically, I stayed there for a month. And as we came home to SeaTac Airport, and I was basically lining up at the immigration line, I got red flagged. Basically, they pulled me over to the side and they questioned me. And I was sitting there. Feels like Jonah, right? I didn't get swallowed by a whale, but I got swallowed by immigration. So basically, they pull me over, and I'm like thinking in my head, like, what did I do? You know? And I'm thinking in my head, like, well, they're probably going to let me out in a week or two. So they took me in to this immigration. It was brand new. They used to have this immigration center in Chinatown that was so old. So now they made this new immigration center, and down it's in Tacoma somewhere in the waterfront there in the industrial area. So I was there waiting 2 weeks. 1 week passed by, 2 weeks passed by, a month passed by, months passed by, and years passed by. I'm like, man, what am I doing here? I was there for almost 2 years fighting my case because they were trying to deport me back to the Philippines. And they were trying to deport me for some thing that I did. In that time, it was probably like 10 years ago. It was a case that I did 10 years ago. I did not mention this, that back then I used to sell crack cocaine right in the street of Seattle. When night strike, I'm out there in the streets until dawn breaks. Be going home, sleep, the same thing over and over again. But one night, there was a raid that went on in the park. Police came, I ran, tossed the stash of drugs that I have. They found it. I got arrested. And they took me, they booked me in, you know, in King County Jail. I think I was there for 2 weeks. They released me. Ever since, I'm like, that's been in my mind. Like, why haven't I done any time for this yet? It's been so long. I haven't done any time. I even went to the courthouse and trying to surrender myself. And they said, no, you can't. You got to go through the process. I'm like, forget it. I'm going home. So I just went home. And I'm like thinking in the back of my mind, I was like, man, one of these days it's going to come and bite me. And it did. And that's what they booked me in immigration for that position of drugs. I was there fighting my case for almost two years in that place. You know, things were stressed. I was really depressed. I mean, at that time, the girl I was with and the son that I had, it was a mind battling experience. And there's nothing much I can do but cry. I just cried out to the Lord. Amen. The only thing that sustained me in that place was going to church, attending church. I have never missed, unless one Sunday I missed, but all those months I went attending church. Amen. I believe that's what, and I'm believing that God was trying to get in touch with me. And in the process of that, I told my mom, whatever I had money left, I told them, go hire me a lawyer. And I told them, please do not take a Filipino lawyer, please. It was too late. They already hired one. And that didn't work out well. He's like, oh, sorry, can't do nothing much with you. So they hired another attorney. And this attorney, basically, he's the one that did everything and got me out. And I was released, I think around January of 2006, I was released. You know, and from that, and I was going to church where my mom was going here and there, but you know, I wasn't into it. I worked for 6 months. I was good, you know, for 6 months. And then later on, called a friend and sweep me away and back to the same old thing again. You know, hanging around with friends, got into drugs and doing the same old thing again. And I believe this was the turning point of everything. I think my friend had a wedding. We went to a club. And then a friend, we were a group. I mean, a bunch of us went there. And a friend told me that, hey, they're fighting outside. So I went out there and I saw them. They wasn't actually fighting. They were just ganging up on this one guy. And I was there trying to break the whole thing up and stomping on this guy at the same time. But I got pointed out and I spent the night in jail. And that was my turning point of all. I talked to the Lord while I was just laying down. I was like, Lord, I'm done. I said, if you're going to send me back to the Philippines, if the immigration is going to pick me up, I'm just going to sign that paper and go back to the Philippines. And the whole night, I was waiting. I was waiting for immigration to pick me up. But a friend of mine bailed me out that morning. And I was glad to get bailed out. I didn't want to stay there any longer. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done going in and out of jail since juvenile. We've been going out in and out. The only time my mom would know that I'm alive is when juvenile would call her. I won't be home for months. Once I go, I'm gone. It's like the only time she knows that I'm alive is when juvenile detention center will call her that you need to come pick him up. In and out from juvenile, even in King County, a young adult, in and out from King County Jail. But that night, when I got bailed out, I basically just stopped everything. I was done. I stayed home. I didn't go anywhere. And later on, found out that my mom, my aunts, and my uncle was going to church. And this church was basically like a block away from my house. And one Sunday morning, my uncle invited me. I said, let's go to church. I said, okay. I ain't got nothing to do. Let's go. So we went. And that was it. It's like the Lord got a hold of me somehow. That there's something that I got a hold of that I can't let go. Amen. I was even scared to step out of the building. Because every time I look at the door, I could feel that spirit just trying to pull me out. And I was so scared to just step out. I didn't even want to go home. I just want to stay in church. I want to stay in the building. But that first time I went to church, that was it. God had his way. Amen. Since then until now, you know, I'm a living testimony for what God has done. Amen. I believe this is the best miracle that I ever received from the Lord. Being in a part of his kingdom, being a part of his church. And I don't know what it is. I'm still thinking about it. Why me? Out of the bunch, why me? And I don't know what it is. I believe it's the prayer. It is a product of prayer. I believe my grandfather, whatever it is that he left behind. Amen. Out of the bunch of his family, only one came. And later on, I found out from other pastors that he used to know, pastors from the Philippines, they've been praying and praying that at least one of his children will follow his footsteps. And I guess I'm it. Tag, you're it. So basically, I mean, that's what happened. That's how I came to church. Amen. And I know that, you know, God is he is a God of long suffering. He is a God of patience. Amen. It doesn't matter how long we've been in there. It doesn't matter if you have children or grandchildren out there in the world. Just keep praying for them. God is a God of patience. He is slow to anger. He is a merciful God. Amen. He hears your cry. He hears your prayer. Amen. Just don't give up. Just keep asking the Lord. And one day soon, God will do something. You might not be here to see it or this and that, but God will fulfill it. Amen. Like these Israelites. The grandparents, those people, those generation that came out of Egypt, they did not see the fulfillment of the promise. But the children saw it. Amen. The children that they were so scared of losing or being, you know, given to the enemies, they were the one that was given the promise to. And only two of them from that generation that came out of Egypt saw it. Amen. So let's continue to be, we serve an awesome God. We serve a merciful God. We serve a God that does miracles. We serve a God that forgives. He is slow to anger, whatever it is. Whatever iniquities, whatever it is, whatever wrong that our grandparents or our children or whatever it is. Amen. God is merciful. He is gracious. Amen. Let's continue to trust Him. God will, whatever He has promised you, if He had promised you something, if you have heard the Lord's voice and said something to you, God will fulfill it. And I am still waiting for that day that God will break through in my family. I'm still waiting for that revival that will break out in my family. God told me, and I'm trusting Him. If God said something to you, trust Him. Amen. Keep that. Keep reminding Him. Amen. And God will fulfill it. Praise God. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, my God, touch this body today. God, you know the desire of every heart in this house. God, we are crying out to you, Father. Lord, you have given us a promise, oh God. And we are still, oh God, trusting you, Lord, that that promise will come. Oh Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust you, Lord, that you are merciful. You are gracious. You are patient, oh God. We love you with all our hearts and with all our mind and strength. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Church, if you have any children that are still living in the world today, cry out unto the Lord for them. It's time for them to come home. Praise God. I don't know what else that the Lord has in store for me, but I'm just standing in my place and let Him lead wherever He wants. God knows that I still have a burden for Seattle. God gave us 2 years in Seattle to minister there, and God pulled us out for some reason or for some purpose. And I believe as we were driving here today, I was just thinking of that. I believe what's going on is we're regrouping. Because we cannot conquer this city unless there's an army that will go down there and take this city. And the only way that we can is we have to regroup and plan things out. And for those past 2 years, I was a privilege to minister to Brother Jarrell and you know, share that burden to him. And I believe he catched that burden, and I believe the Lord is doing mighty things with him. And I'm just glad that he gave us 2 years of his time, his life, to minister and to disciple him. And I believe God is doing something. I believe God is building an army, a people. This church, I mean, it's not time to play around anymore. This is something serious. We are in this time, we are in this generation. It's time for us to cross over. It's time for us to cross over and grab the promises that God has for us. God promised a revival. God promised a harvest. One thing God didn't promise, or one thing that it was lacking, is labor. We don't have enough labor. We don't have enough people that will go out there, amen, and do something about it. And I believe this is the reason why God has took us out there and to regroup and do something. And whatever it is that we have started long ago, Bishop, I believe the Lord is trying to bring that back out. Because it's time to get people, time to equip people, time to inspire people, time to get people ready for this great harvest that's coming. It's there already. Even the Lord tell us that, look up. Amen. They're already white and ready for harvest. We just need people that will go out there. We just need people that will do the will of God. We just need people that loves people, the willingness. Amen. We got to be willing to be used of God for us to accomplish, for us to fulfill the will of God in this world. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the promised. We are the bride of Christ. The Lord is out there getting our stuff ready. The Lord is out there getting our house or whatever it is getting ready out there. As the Lord is getting ready, we need to get ready as well. We need to go and win souls. We need to go and take our cities back. We need to continue. If we can't go, let's pray. Pray for it. It's time for us to take our family back. Amen. We cannot stop now. The time is so short. It's so short. We got to pull up our sleeves and ready for work. Ready to go. Because when God moves, we got to move. We cannot say, hang around and say, hold on, Lord, let me do something real quick. No. We got to move when God moves. Amen. Praise God.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're seeking you today, Father. We're waiting upon you in this moment. In the name of Jesus.